Greetings. Welcome back to it. My name's Mookie, or Mark, if you prefer, from 88.5, the SoCal Sound. Please know we are listener-supported public radio right here in Southern California. If you're not a member or subscriber, please go online, thesocalsound.org, and subscribe at your leisure. Today is very exciting because live music is always inspirational, and we've got live music from Middle Kids on 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
Take a look around the town you grew up in. It's tired and fading, endlessly sighing. Your family is there, expectantly waiting. Your mother complaining, your father is quiet. And on the way to the station, you pass by the houses, dark windows saying there's a reason you sneak out at night to be with all your friends in the open. Out in the open, wherever you just getting started, out of the dark, into the highlands, give me your heart. I wanna hide it and I can't keep waiting. Voltage to chase, don't care where you are. But just getting started, out of the dark, into the highlands, give me your heart. I wanna hide it and I can't keep waiting. Voltage to chase. I don't like the winter, I just like the sun. And the sticks always falling, breaking my heart. And by the way, the air is like ice, but I'm seeing it clearly in this new light. I don't like running, I just like the sun and the movement, footsteps hitting the ground. Wherever you are, but just getting started, out of the dark, into the highlands.
All right, that was a great live version of a song that our listeners are probably familiar with at this point, Highlands, from the band Middle Kids. We got Hannah Joy, Tim, and Harry here today.
Hey.
Hi, Mookie, or Mark.
Hi. Yeah, whichever you prefer. You know, either one will do. How's things in the United States at the moment for you?
Good. We love coming here, especially because we had a drought over COVID, so anytime we can come back now, we're friggin' stoked. So it's nice.
And we just played a tour with opening for Manchester Orchestra and Jimmy Eat World.
Incredible.
Which was really fun. There's 30 dates.
Yeah, it was big. It was so fun.
Yeah,
it was, yeah. It was excellent. So do you have the opportunity to play some new tunes that are coming down the pike on that tour, just doing today?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like, it's such a good way to almost get to know the songs ourselves, to play them.
Yeah, something that was special, we were playing Highlands for a few weeks on the tour before it came out and feeling like people were really responding to that one, particularly live.
Yeah.
And that's always a nice thing to feel before a song comes out. So people connecting with it who'd never heard it before.
Almost immediately, you know, because it's still so young in the song's existence, really. Maybe not for you, but to the general public. How long have you been sitting on these songs? Because the last time we got a record from Middle Kids was a couple of years ago now. are these some pandemic-inspired tunes, so to speak? Or what sort of subject matter are we touching on generally these days?
Some were written towards the latter part of the pandemic, but then I think most of them were coming out of it.
Yeah.
I did not find that to be a very fruitful time creatively, the pandemic. So it was like, I think as we were kind of coming out, I felt my imagination and spirit was opening up again. So I think it was kind of after that. And then we went to record in England mid-2021. So 22.
Mm. 22.
I didn't want to ask you about that. You hear about musicians all the time relocating out to the desert or to a different city type of thing. Now, you left Australia, went out to the UK, and I guess you linked up with a particular producer on this as well. Did you want a change of scenery as well as working with, you know, someone else to help produce?
Yeah, we wanted to go to like a sleepy, retiree town in the south of... of Britain.
Very specific.
Yeah, right. With a nice rocky like foreshore and on the channel.
We did it.
And we found that, no, we wanted to work with John Gilmore and that was where he wanted to go. So that was where we went.
And he's done a lot of work with the 1975 and Biba Doobie, some like acts from Dirty Hit. We really like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we like working with different people, and I produce a lot of the demos, and then it's fun to sort of like get someone else's take, their filter on it. He did a really good job.
Were you trying to get out of your comfort zone, so to speak, and try new things with new music?
I think so. I think so much of what we've been influenced by is American music, and it was like we would always sort of lean towards that direction, like as references, like American indie rock and like alt country and even pop. But he had a whole different sort of arsenal of references. And then he would sort of like not really know what we were talking about when we'd reference certain bands in the American indie canon. And his references would be like Blur, you know, Britpop stuff or, you know, interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was cool. And he would record the drums in a way that felt like different and coming from that space.
You can really hear the metal work.
Yeah, he always talked about the metal work. Like it was really interesting. Like, and maybe it's stuff that, you know, the average person who appreciates music wouldn't necessarily be listening for. But as you know, I really noticed that he had quite a different ear.
And that feedback loop makes a big difference for us, I think, in the studio, because it's like, you're finding new sounds, and even though the songs are written, it changes like a lot of the decisions you make. And I think even what you were saying before, that sense of place, I think really affected kind of where we'd walk. And well, for me, especially like the spirit of the place, and it was on the coast and it was really beautiful. I found that very inspiring because we were there for 5 or 6 weeks, so we were there a while. But it was, yeah, definitely out of the comfort zone. And I think we made some moves that were different for us, which was our intention. Like we were just, you know, we wanted to try and find different ways to express the songs and the core of who we are. Mm-hmm. And they might be, yeah, again, very slight, but it's meaningful to us, I think, because it then changes the overall sound, I think, in a little way.
Mm-hmm. We just got a live version of the song Highlands. And again, we've been playing that on the air for several weeks at this point. I think you said in an interview or press release or something that Highlands to you stands for or represents some sort of euphoric place.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, it's kind of like the free place. I have always, since I was a child, like really desired this sense of freedom and never really felt that I've had it. I've just felt stuck, whether that's inside myself or where I am. I think that's just part of my strange complex. But some of my ancestry is from the Scottish Highlands, and that's kind of been upheld in my family as this, like a big origin story for us of the wild place, the free place. And I think that has kind of, I've carried that with me as kind of an image for being free and like, you know, I guess that sense of euphoria.
Who came up with the concept of the music video for Highlands? I enjoy the video.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That was our friend. His name is Toby Morris. He's a filmmaker in Sydney.
Yeah.
And he had filmed a lot of like short films in this part of our state, which is a few hours south of Sydney. And he just knew all these locations there and all these people, and he just sort of pitched this vision of just essentially playing the song in interesting locations with crazy stuff happening in the background. So there's like a scene with a helicopter flying in the background, sort of shining a spotlight on us, and all these dirt bikes riding around us.
It was high octane out.
Yeah, it was high octane. Yeah. It was just kind of funny.
And it was freezing. It was so cold. Yeah. And we were there for 3.5 days. Yes. And every day he'd be like, do this. And we're like, okay.
So it was fun. He's working with us on a few films.
Yeah, he's amazing. Mm.
Incredible. Well, let's get into another song. If you don't mind, we'll hear another new one. It's Bootleg Firecracker, one of the first songs people have ever heard from the new record coming out early 2024. We'll rip into that right now, and then more with Middle Kids in our studio in just a matter of moments.
Space between us, you and me, this place we dreamed of. You go outside to feed the meter until I next see you. I'll keep moving till I see you cruising in. Then I am an average dancer. That's not the point that I'm after. I'll be your midnight bootleg fire. Disaster, that's the point that I'm after. And there's risk, I guarantee. When there's skin, you tend to bleed. But I'd rather be fighting a losing battle than to live with me in my shadow. There's always a chance on the way for a win, even a small one. So I'll keep moving till I see you cruising in. And I am an average dancer. It's not the point that I am after. I'll be your firecracker, and I could blow up in your hand. It could be great or a disaster, and that's the point that I'm after. That's the point that I'm after. Yeah, that's the point that I'm after.
There you go. A cool live version of Bootleg Firecracker. We also heard Highlands in our studio. It's Middle Kids here at 88.5, the SoCal Sound. There are some songs, previous releases from you that, in my opinion, will withstand the test of time. Songs like On My Knees, Edge of Town. I mean, we play that, you know, every now and again on the radio, and we'll continue to do so for a very long time. The new album, Faith Crisis Part 1, set to be released tentatively for February of 2024. So we're way ahead of it now. Faith crisis. I feel like that's some commentary on just where we are at as a society right now. Do you feel like there's a faith crisis?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, just casually, yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think, you know, I think part of it was like a personal one, but then, yeah, like a communal one too. And I think that we're all kind of constantly having these micro faith crises in terms of what we believe and what we think is true and important in life. And I think that, yeah, even maybe coming out of the pandemic and a lot of things changing, I feel like, yeah, as a society, we've been rocked. But I think, like, in the record, I think there is, it touches upon a lot of that, like, at large. But I think in the my inner world, our inner worlds, and, like, the journey that we're going on and the kind of breaking down of, you know, old beliefs. And I think, yeah, it was an interesting time because I think I was going through a lot of that, but it seemed to, like, go at the same time as, like, a lot of that happening out there in the world too.
Mm-hmm. So, no, go ahead, man.
I was just going to say, at the end of the record-making process, we'll often read all the lyrics and you sort of see themes that are through the whole... You can read all the lyrics as one piece of writing, you know, and it felt like that was, like, a big theme in all of the all of the songs.
Which is kind of cool. It's almost like the, you know, we write the things and then you look back on it and you go, oh, that's what that's about.
Yeah.
Just often it's not with such intention, like, I'm going to write a song about this. Or, you know, it's like, this is the stuff that pours out and then you, and it kind of is telling you something about yourself or what do you feel, which is kind of helpful.
Mm-hmm. So would you say part of the new record, a little bit of social commentary, maybe by accident, but a little bit of your own personal experiences, which could also be very relatable to other people?
Yeah, you know? I think so. I mean, I think it's not like an intention, like political statement or anything, but I think that, you know, when we're touching upon things that are potentially universal or that people are also going through, I think it can just then have a commentary in that sense.
Right. Middlekidsmusic.com is the website. You can get the merch, check on some tour dates. Again, you just wrapped up a thing with Manchester Orchestra and Jimmy Eat World, which is very cool. We imagine more dates might be coming in 2024 to coincide with the brand new record. So obviously, I mean, I would just venture to guess that you're already working on Faith Crisis Part 2, or maybe that's a twinkle in your eye at this point.
It's inevitable. It's coming.
Yeah,
you know, I guess so, right? You know, or maybe it's just a one-off thing, which would be,
That'd be nice.
Artful, artful in its own right. Just have Part 1 out there, and that's it.
That's true.
Yeah.
It would be very us to do that, because we're very ambitious, like, Part 1, and then that's it.
That's right.
We've made like videos like that.
You know, you could come out with Part 3 and then Part 2 down the line.
Why does it have to be linear, you know?
You know, that's true.
Time is a flat circle.
Yeah.
it's all about, innovating and just doing different things these days, I suppose.
How not being predictable, you know? It's like, you've got to keep them guessing.
Sure, yeah. You know? We're going to get into the last song, Stacking Chairs, from a previous record. Again, thank you so much for being here. You have an open invitation whenever you sweep through Southern California. Do you enjoy traveling abroad? Because as a band, I imagine you guys get to see parts of the world that a lot of people wouldn't even ever get to.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a dream come true. Like, I think the traveling, especially being from Australia, when we come here, it's a very special part of what we get to do. We feel very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a point where you're going to feel like you're too big for Australia and maybe relocate to the UK or United States?
I don't know.
Definitely not because we're too big, but that is something we think about.
We do think
we
about
often
it.
Dream coming here and, you know, and pitching our tent under the orange in the orange grove
and outside the studio.
Yeah.
That's a radio station reference.
Yeah.
Love that.
Nice.
But no, we love it here, and we especially when you are here, you often are just available for more opportunities and those opportunities to connect with fans and you know, play music for the people who like listening to it. So
It would be nice.
It's
hard though when you're like a musician, half the time you don't feel like you should move anyway because you're not anywhere. You're everywhere and nowhere.
Living out of a suitcase type of thing.
That does sound hard.
Yeah. Middle kids, you all are amazing. Anything else to touch on before we get into the last song and sort of wrap it up here? It's a pleasure to see you. And if I recall, several years ago at South by Southwest, you played our Radio Day stage.
Yeah.
I don't think I was there for that, but I do recollect that that was a thing. So
it was a thing.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
I think I got a T-shirt from you guys then that I still wear.
He still wears it.
It's such
maybe you
a great
need a
fabric.
Refresh because that thing, how's that hanging on?
I don't know, but it's good.
You like our format better than Triple J in Australia?
I like them equally.
Nice.
I will say I don't have a Triple J T-shirt though, so
there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll have to send you some more merch items.
All right,
Stacking Chairs. We'll wrap it up with this song from a previous record. Would you give us a storyteller's type of moment, a little bit of background on this particular song?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I actually wrote this about Tim. He was brought up in Papua New Guinea for the first 10 years of his life. And so he's a little jungle boy. And I feel like that's had, well, I know that that has had a big impact on your life. And it's kind of a song about me trying to understand him while he's trying to understand himself. And so part of that story and then like doing that journey together. It's quite a special song.
Yeah. And when we recorded the second album, it was the song that Lars Stauffers, who co-produced that, he wanted to do the record because of that song. Mm-hmm. And he always really believed in that song. And it almost wasn't a single. And then we released it quite late and it's gone on to do cool things. And we really love playing it live.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, so, amazing. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for being here. We'll get into Stacking Chairs, and then we'll touch base with you all down the road sooner than later, hopefully.
Awesome. Yes, please.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you.
Middle kids. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
You lift your heart in the jungle. Ripped off of your red bicycle. I didn't know you then, but it feels significant. I gave up everything I learned just to follow you down that dirt road. You better hold my hand. There is no map for this. Stuck in a chest when the world turns on. shoes come off, I'll be your spare. When the party's over, I'll be stacking the chairs. When the world turns on you, I will be there. Yeah, I will be there.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Mark Mookie Kazor. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.